Before we start the episode, I want to explain to you that this episode will be without music, and that is because of licensing issues.
Legal
licensing issues. Songs cost money, typically, and to be able to play these songs during interviews or introductions of bands, it would cost a lot of money legally. And we like to see our artists get paid on top of it, even if it's pennies. They're still getting paid.
Parts of pennies.
Parts of pennies, for sure. So, if you want to hear this episode in full with all the songs involved legally, go to your Spotify app, and you can find This Week in Seattle Rock on the Spotify app and hear this episode in its entirety. Or, if you just want to hear our pretty voices, you can go ahead and listen to that, too.
Hi.
Hi.
With all that being said, we appreciate you tuning in and listening and hope you enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to This Week in Seattle Rock's 5 points. That's right. Hello and welcome to another episode of This Week in Seattle Rock's 5 points, a special episode in which we talk to local musicians or people in the music industry and ask them to bring us 5 songs that are touchstone points in their life. And we will play those songs and discuss them. We are able to do this because we are a Spotify exclusive podcast. So we are able to play the entire songs for you. If you're not familiar with these songs, more than likely you probably are. But, you know, there's that opportunity that these might be songs you've never heard before. So granted that I'm old and I've heard of a lot of songs, but I know there's a lot of younger people out there that these songs might be new to. So here's an opportunity to hear something new from somebody who's influential to us in the local music scene. This week, this is episode 99, and how appropriate would it be that we are talking to a member of KISW? We're talking to Mr. Ryan Castle. First things first, you can hear Ryan Castle weekdays from 10 to 2 in between BJ and Migs and the men's room. And then on Saturday, you can also hear him from 2 to 7. So how about them apples? The one thing you don't want to miss is the morning 12-pack every weekday from 10 o'clock and the hookup at noon. And since we had recorded this, we recorded this a long time ago. It's taken a while to develop how we were going to let these out. We recorded this in January of 2021. So it's taken us a while to get this out. It's quite a while. Ryan's asked me a couple times, hey, when are we going to air that episode? Hey, when am I going to hear that? Well, the time has come. Hey, it's September. Sorry, Ryan. Not your fault whatsoever. But since January, Ryan Castle has been promoted from assistant brand manager of KISW to the brand manager, which also includes its sister station in Portland, KGON-FM. So congratulations on that promotion, Ryan. I never have got a chance to congratulate you on that. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Give a listen to it. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. So let's go ahead and listen to Ryan Castle's 5 points.
Just making chicken salad out of chicken shit during the apocalypse like everybody else.
Right. You know? Right. Living in the confines of the basement now, eh?
Dude, yeah. So I don't know if you caught the whole story. We talked about it on the radio a little bit, but we've been planning a pretty extensive remodel for like the last year and a half that got pushed back a couple of times. And then COVID happened. And then so finally it was supposed to start in November. And we were like, my wife and I are both working at home. Holidays are about to come up. Like, are they going to tear this place apart and then disappear for a month for the holidays? We're like, let's just wait until January. So we scheduled it for the beginning of January, hoping that we'd be out of the house and maybe back at work, which was stupid and a pipe dream at the time. So that started last week. So basically the entire main floor of our house is a complete disarray and destruction. Like the kitchen is stripped down to the studs. I mean, it's fucking mess. So we basically, my wife and I in the basement, both working in the basement and now living in the basement and cooking in the basement in a makeshift kitchen. And then we have our bedroom upstairs, but that's it. So, you know, it's almost like we're living in our first apartment together, you know.
Right.
we're living in about 900 square feet.
Right. But, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's still more than we are.
Did I hear you have
like, except for my 900 square feet has a pool table in the middle of it. It's in my basement. It takes up a lot of space.
So did I hear you had a little bit of a flood during the rain?
Oh, fuck, dude. So that's happened a couple of times now. We thought we had it dealt with, but we had a new walkway patio thing put in last summer, and the runoff from that is coming down our basement stairs. And then so that drain doesn't work. And so it comes in the door in the basement. And it's not bad all the time, but it seems like this year, especially since late December, we've just had apocalypse rain three or four times. And every single time you get that apocalypse rain, it starts to come in. So we've got like pumps and hoses running out to the yard and shit. And yeah. And now we're living here with the carpet torn out and the trim all off the fucking walls because it got wet. And yeah, but enough of my problems. Yay. How are you? I mean, other than I'm actually, dude, I, you know, all things considered, I'm pretty great. You know, it's been a weird year for everybody. And we're doing good.
Yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at. I'm not doing bad. I have not stopped working. I drive truck for a living. So I was deemed essential. People need their stuff.
Right.
I have gained the COVID 50, not 15, 50.
Congrats.
You see my third chin under there.
I did the 15, which is why I'm drinking tea tonight and not beer.
Good on you.
I gotta do this every now and again. It's, you know, I'm fortunate in that if I stop drinking for 2 months, I can lose 20 pounds. It'll just fall off of me, which tells you exactly how much I drink also. You know, it's amazing what happens when you cut 1,000 calories a day out of your diet.
Yeah, maybe I should start counting calories.
Probably. Yeah. I could do
1,000 calories. You know, it sounds like a lot, but you know, you have 5 or 6 IPAs and a couple of whiskeys and you're about right there. That's about 1,000 calories. So that's like 2 extra meals
worth of Marcy checks fat. Justin's beer.
I'm allergic to alcohol, so I don't know what my excuse is.
I'm allergic to not having alcohol.
You break out in handcuffs, right?
Yeah, totally.
So we want to say thank
you. I get the sweats and terrible anxiety when it's not around. It's the weirdest thing.
We want to say thank you for coming on. This is a new venture for us. It's special. We're not the pro that you are, but you know, we're just a bunch of goons, goons with microphones and a podcast.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
So this isn't typically where I do this. This is where my wife works, but she's in the other room watching TV where I usually work. Okay. So I didn't bring like the whole setup. I just brought the interface and the microphone. So
you're fine. I'll take the audio and I'll bring it through a processing company.
Oh, okay, cool.
They'll meter everything out and it just turns out spectacular. Yeah, we'll just get into talking about your songs, what they mean to you, all that kind of good stuff. And I guess we'll just kind of fade into what we're doing.
Fade
in.
It's a Mazzy star.
Yeah, there you go.
It is.
So are you a Washingtonian?
I am. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes. It's a bit more complicated than that. I grew up here. I moved here when I was very, very young from Colorado, but I was like really young. And then I grew up in Everett and I lived there until I was 13. And then my family moved to Eastern Washington and I was there until I was 18. So I spent, it wasn't even that long. It was like 3 or 4 years in Yakima. And then I traveled around doing radio as we tend to do. And then I came back in 2003 and I've been here ever since. So for the most part, I'm a Washingtonian. I grew up in Everett. I claim that as my hometown.
Okay, cool.
The very long answer to a very simple question.
Well, mine would be, I was born in Renton. There you go.
Man.
There you go. Done.
Right on.
My answer is really super easy. Well, hey, why don't we jump right into it? Sure. I'll let you know, Marcy and Justin do not know what they're going to hear.
Nope, not at all.
He likes to surprise us.
You actually have song clips too. This is great.
I'll let you know how.
Sure.
This is a Spotify exclusive podcast in that we are able to play full versions of songs with no licensing issues because we just pull the song from Spotify. Artist gets paid. Gotcha. That way, that
yeah, because we can't do that shit. We have to cut all the music out of our podcasts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
So it's kind of nice that I'm able to play full songs for people who want to listen to them. They can also fast forward through them and not have to worry about the licensing for sure. So
okay.
So would you like to listen to these songs all the way through? We don't have to listen to them all the way through right now.
No, we don't have to listen to them all the way through. Especially some of these songs are just terrible too. I don't think that we need
to that. But they must mean something.
Yeah, they all have a story for
there
sure.
There you go. Well, why don't we pop into your first song? I'm not going to introduce it. I'm just going to start playing it. There's some heavy editing in this podcast sometimes. Oh, wait.
That's all good, man. So that song is basically three verses, three choruses, a really long intro, and then like a minute and a half fade guitar solo outro.
That is
so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us about For Whom the Bell Tolls for you. What is that song?
So that is the very first song I ever learned how to play on the drums. Yeah, that's why I picked that song. So let me start by saying this was surprisingly difficult to come up with five songs, right? So
we've heard,
you know, you think a lot about bands and genres and concerts and experiences, but to like nail down five songs that have a story or something involved to them, it was really tough, dude. So I spent like a week thinking about it. And I was trying to find some things that were like significant, you know. So that song was the first song I learned how to play on drums. I bought like a $300 drum kit when I was in ninth grade, and I had been playing like in band in school leading up to that point, but that was like my first drum kit, right? And I didn't even buy it. I was working at a Sizzler, or maybe it was even McDonald's at that point. And I was making payments on a $300 drum kit, dude, probably like 20 bucks a month. You know what I mean?
That's what kids did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And me and my buddy, Steve, who played guitar, we were a band, and that was the only song we knew how to play, dude. And we played it over and over and over and over. And, you know, it's the simplest song to play. It's probably the simplest Metallica song. And that's probably why we adopted that one. You know, he was pretty good. I was shit at the time, and I'm not much better now. And yeah, dude, we just played that song all the fucking time. He lived with his grandparents, and it was in his bedroom, not even in like a garage or a basement. It was his bedroom in his grandparents' house. And for some reason, they tolerated it.
Wow.
I'm sure they knew exactly how they could probably play that song by the time we were done. Because, I mean, dude, it was like months. It was months of that song. And we would like come up with different riffs and shit, but we didn't write actual songs, and it would be like the ditty or that one thing, and then it would be back to For Whom the Bell Tolls again. Yeah. Also, ironically, coincidentally, more like the first song I learned how to play on the giant bell.
There you go.
It's like me and all my weird instruments. I can play one song. It's Under the Sea by
And you know, crazy. That song, you know, it's basically, you know, Lars has zhuzhed it up a little bit over the years when he plays it live, but it's basically still that same, just dun, 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 dun.
It's one of their most popular songs live and throughout their catalog. I mean, everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, I should say everybody, that's generalization, but yeah, for the most part, that's a Metallica song everybody can go to.
Yeah. Think about all the great songs that are on Ride the Lightning. There were two that really stood out, and it was that one and Fade to Black.
Right. Right.
So you were in ninth grade when you started playing?
Well, I had played in school prior to that, but like really got serious when I was in ninth grade. And then for like 3 years there, I played quite a bit. And then I started moving around a bunch and, you know, living in apartments, and moving every year doesn't exactly lend itself to being a drummer, you know.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the easiest instrument to travel with and live in apartments.
Right.
So I stopped for a really long time. And then probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, I started playing again. And then, you know, whenever new originals would play, or I'd like jump in and, you know, play with Glenn's band every now and again, or like at a benefit show or something like that. But then I'll like go a year without playing, and then I'll get all fired up and play again for a while. And then I won't play again for another year. Like I got a drum kit over there, and there's another one over there in the corner, and they're all taken down right now because we're living in 800 square feet, as we previously discussed. There's no room for a drum set right now. It's out of the fucking question.
On top of the pool table. It's like your riser. Yeah,
shit. Put it on the pool table.
It's a riser, dude.
So this is the room where the drums used to go. This is where all the music stuff lives in the house. But we needed a spare bedroom, and my wife needed somewhere to work. So we put a desk in and then moved the drums out and put a bed in. And I lost my special place.
Oh. Sounds like grown-up stuff.
What's that?
Sounds like grown-up stuff.
I know. Being a grown-up. Fucking blows. It was overrated. When I was 13, 14 years old, I couldn't wait to grow up. What a dumb shit I was.
Right? I think all of us, right? I want to be a man. I want to be 15 again.
I can't wait to be out on my own.
Right, exactly.
Pay my own bills.
This was released as a single off Ride the Lightning. Interestingly, it was also the B-side. They had the full length on one side. They had the edit on the other side. The radio edit.
I don't even know what the radio edit for Whom the Bell Tolls sounds like, which is weird because, you know, that's kind of my business. I don't think anyone really plays the radio edit of that song.
You know,
Metallica is one of those bands that there were a couple of songs off of, like in the Load Reload era that people were playing edits of, like Bleeding Me and stuff like that, because it was like 8 minutes long. But, you know, I mean, even Master of Puppets, it's 8 minute opus, right?
Yeah,
and people just don't chop it up. I think some things are sacred, right? Like Stairway to Heaven's 8 minutes long. What are you going to chop the middle out of it?
And they did. There was. There's
they really?
Edit. Yeah, there's a radio edit for Stairway.
Well, like Doors, like my Fire is a great example of that. Of a song they chopped up.
You know? Definitely, most definitely, crazy. Well, you know, we got to get those commercials in.
Yeah. You know what it is, dude? Really, it's about attention span, you know, and, you know, we could go deep into the weeds on radio stuff, but, you know, we need to grab 5 minutes from people every 15 minutes and it doesn't have to be all at once. So if I play a 10 minute song and you don't like it, I can kiss your ass goodbye.
Right.
You know, I don't get anything. And the reason songs were so short early on and that kind of became adopted as the norm is that was as long as a 45 was.
Right.
So that's all the music they could stick on there. And so it became kind of the norm to all of the songs were like 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, 45 seconds or whatever. And then, you know, AOR rock radio came along and they're like, we're going to play the long songs and we'll play the whole side of the album. And that was so revolutionary.
I'm going to go out and have a smoke.
Exactly. Right.
Go take a dump.
Listen, enjoy Freebird. Enjoy Peter Frampton.
Exactly. Oh, how fun. So, hey, why don't we pop into song number 2 on Ryan Castle's selection. So, What's Up from Four Non-Blondes from their debut and only album, Bigger, Better, Faster, and More from 1992.
So, I was dating this girl.
Oh.
And she was a package deal. She came with another girl who was her best friend. And they were the kind of crazy that only 14-year-old girls can be. That's how old we were at the time. This is 1992, right? They were inseparable. And I found out later why, because, you know, not only was she seeing me, she was also seeing her friend. And there were some other people involved too. I mean, it was a life-altering learning experience.
An awakening
at a very impressionable age of 14 years old, right? So that got really weird and really messed up. At one point I ended up going to another school, like when I won't get into like all of it, but it was pretty fucked up. And so those two, by the way, they just loved that song. Like, so I always associated that song with those two. Like, that was their jam. Like, I can't hear that song without thinking of these two lunatics. And so I did not see her for forever after that. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've seen her since I was 15 years old or something like that. But so my younger brother, he was in Oregon for some reason. He had driven down to Oregon. I think they were like buying a lottery ticket or something. Like, you couldn't get Powerball in Washington or Mega Millions or whatever. So they drove down across the border to buy. So he was at some roadside strip club in Eastern Oregon or something. And he's sitting there on Sniffer's Row throwing down dollar bills. And he looks up at this girl and he says, I'm not going to say her name. We'll say her name was Betty, just for the sake of the conversation. He looks up to this girl and he goes, Betty? And she's like, oh my God. And she's like mortified and she runs away. That was the last I heard about her. Wow. Yeah, she was a special kind of crazy, that one. So again, you know, if you're trying to associate a song with a story, that song definitely has a story. You know, so we're talking 29 years ago.
Was
that 29 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
And I still, every time I hear that song, I go, well, there's that crazy.
You got that trigger.
Special kind of crazy.
You know what?
Wow. Yeah.
What's
learned a lot. Learned a lot that year for sure.
The song's called What's Up.
Now we know what's up.
Yeah. We do.
That's what's up.
Not at one
that's
time.
That's what's up. And I, you know, I honestly, I don't know what happened to either one of them. It's, It's a mystery. Probably with some jail time involved.
Shoot, for sure. That is
possibly a drug charge.
Maybe some free clinic stuff.
There was definitely some drugs involved. Maybe some involuntary commitment.
Wow, that's a special story, man.
Yeah.
Man.
That's funny. When I hear that song, I had a friend who loved that song and never sung any of the words right. It's like, how do you get those wrong? She says them very clear.
They're enunciated really well.
But she's like praying for steak all day. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not what they say. Praying
for steak. I would, I would like that song more if that's what it was about.
Right?
Need to call Glenn and have him redo it.
Right? You know, and Linda Perry has gone on to amazing things too. I mean, she produced some of the biggest songs of the last 20 years.
Pretty prolific songwriter.
Christina Aguilera and Pink and, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
Good honor.
Right.
And still with the hat, I hope. I don't know.
The magic hat. So why don't we pop on to song number 3? Are you guys ready?
Yep. Of course.
Sure.
Of course. Eventually. All right. Here you go. So that was David Lee Roth and Yankee Rose, I think.
Right.
It sounded similar. And that's off the Edelman Smile album, his first full album after exiting the Van Halen camp. What does that song do for you?
So, you know that feeling you get when you pull into the campground at the gorge after driving for 2 hours to get there, and you know you're going to set up and drink a bunch of beers, and you know you can spend the whole day in the sunshine with your friends, and you're going to wander over and see a killer show, and then all you got to do after the show is walk back and fall down in your tent or sit and drink more, which is usually the case. We went over. We got an RV, and it was me and Hair Club, my boss, and I think Jolene was with us, and Misha and JC, and there was more people, and I'm spacing now. This was probably summer of 2007, and we went over on 4th of July weekend to see Willie Nelson at the Gorge. Nice. And so why Yankee Rose? Because it talks about, you know, firecracking on the 4th of July in there. So as we came off there on whatever it is, Silica Road off of I-90, Misha puts that song on and we listened to it like 7 times in a row until we got into the campground and got parked and started getting set up. And every time I hear that song, it takes me back and puts a smile on my face because that was a ton of fun.
Oh, that's
and
then cool.
So just for an aside on that, I watched exactly 3 songs of Willie Nelson because I was so fucking hammered that we went over there and we had pretty great seats too, and we walked over there and I sat down and I was cool until I sat down, and then I sat down and I was like, you know, it was maybe 15 minutes. I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
I've never been to the Gorge.
And Ted Smith met us there, and his mom was in town. His mom and his sister were in town from DC. And so we met them there, so we were hanging out with Ted's mom. I mean, it was a ton of fun.
Oh, fun.
It was a ton of fun.
Fun. Sounds cool.
And it's great to go to the Gorge every now and again as a reminder that you're not 16 years old anymore. Also, you know, waking up at the Gorge is one of the worst feelings on the planet. Because like, now you got to clean up all your shit, drive home. You're just like, oh, hot. God, why did I do this to myself?
I think the only time I've ever been to the Gorge myself, which is, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful venue as far as the scenery. I saw America, and I think I was like 15, 16. I had to be 16 at least. I went over, drove over. I saw America.
So this is like the 50s? I saw Tool there.
You did?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I saw Tool there on that. We were probably at the same show. Was that about 10 years ago?
God, is it that long? Has it been that long?
Probably right around that same time, yeah.
Justin was in diapers. I mean,
it was probably 2007, you know, after 10,000 Days came out.
So was that your only chance to see Willie?
That is the only time I saw Willie Nelson. Yeah.
And you made the best of it.
Yeah. I always do, dude. I always do. Look, anything worth doing is worth doing a lot.
Oh, that's super.
I think Nikki Sixx said, and I don't know if this is his quote, but he said, never do anything so much that you can never do it again. Like, I like to like walk right up to that line if I can.
So who's your favorite artist to see live?
Oh, to see live? Boy, that's tough. You know, this might sound, I have never been to a bad Foo Fighters show. Mm. And, so, you know, you can love or hate Foo Fighters music, but I mean, it's always a killer show. I mean, Dave is a showman. It's always a great time. Yeah. I mean, that's always been a ton of fun. As a matter of fact, I had a chance recently to interview Dave for work. And I told him that one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life was actually a Foo Fighters show. And it was in Milwaukee in probably like 99 or 2000. So I don't know. Are you guys familiar with Summerfest in Milwaukee?
No, I'm not.
So it's on the waterfront on Lake Michigan. So take a music festival and combine it with the state fair, and it goes for like 11 days and it's like outdoor fair atmosphere, but there are stages everywhere.
Nice.
And so you can see anyone. So like, here's a great example. The radio station I worked for at the time, we had Tommy Lee, it was Methods of Mayhem at the time, playing on our stage at one end of the Summerfest grounds. And at the other end of the Summerfest grounds is the Marcus Amphitheater. And you had to pay extra to get into the Marcus Amphitheater. But, Jerry Cantrell was opening for Nickelback at the Marcus Amphitheater. So, but you know, there were hip hop acts and bluegrass acts, and there's like 25 stages or 30 stages or something like that. And it goes for 11 days.
It's like Bumbershoot on steroids.
You pay admission, and it's like Summerfest is like the famous spot, and it runs up through 4th of July weekend every single year, except for, you know, last year, of course. I mean, it's awesome, except for the year that I worked in Milwaukee and I had to work at Summerfest. Then we called it Bummerfest. Because if you have to be there all day, every day, it's a lot less fun, you know? But anyway, so we saw Foo Fighters play at the Marcus Amphitheater, and it was, Marcus Amphitheater is like White River. So it's like a 3/4 covered shed with a lawn in the back, right? Your typical shed amphitheater, right? And it was during one of the worst thunderstorms I have ever been in my life. It was amazing. Like, your ears were popping. The pressure dropped so fast when the storm came rolling through.
Wow.
So the band's going off and they're just fucking killing it. And you look around. So we were in seats about halfway back. So we were covered. But if you looked around, all you could see was flashes of lightning behind you.
Wow.
And like, people losing their fucking minds and pouring rain. And you like were sure someone was going to die because it was that intense. Like, you know, a tornado was going to blow through there or something. It was just one of those nights where like it all came together. There was like a show all around you. It was, here's how good it was. My jeans were absolutely soaked from being poured on trying to get into the amphitheater. And I still had a good time partying in wet jeans.
There you go.
Which is a tough thing to do.
Yeah, right? Wow, that sounds awesome. Golly.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I think it was, dude, I was probably like 20 or 21 at the time. I mean, it was a ton of fun. Was such a great show. So
good
to
visuals.
Answer your question, they're great. Visuals. Also, I always loved seeing Seven Dust. They've been one of my favorite bands going back to, we did a lot of stuff with them early in their career at radio stations I worked at, and they always absolutely killed. They're great live. And again, you know, you can take or leave their music, whatever you're into, but you can't go see that band and not go, holy shit, like, that was awesome, you know? Clutch is in that category too. I always love seeing Clutch. There's a few of them. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm
trying to think who else had Muse. You guys ever seen a Muse concert?
No.
That'll blow your fucking mind. Yeah. I was not a Muse fan, and a friend of mine who worked for their label was like, come see them. And this was before they got huge. They were playing at the Paramount. Like obviously you don't get it, you know, and I had my blinders on. Like, I don't need to listen to that shit. Right. That pussy shit, come on. Why don't you go see a real band? You know how it is.
Yeah.
You just pass judgment on shit based on some fucking label that's been put on it, right? Like, oh, that's not going to be for me. And I went and saw them, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, now I get it, you know? And that was the Paramount. Last time I saw them at Key Arena, when they have, now they have a skazillion dollars and all of the props and the lights and they during the drones tour, and they had fucking lit up drones flying choreographed shit through the rafters, and it was fucking amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got to put that on my list then.
But, you know, it's great. Wow. So you've got all the lights and bells and whistles and a great band, which is impressive. But also, you know, you could go see Seven Dust play at Soto and they'll fucking blow your mind too without all of $20,000 in extra production that goes along with it, you know.
Showmanship.
That's right.
That's cool. Very cool. So, wow, we're 3 songs in, 60% done. Let's go.
You're the math guy.
I'm just kidding. Wait, math. Hey, song number 4. Let's hit this one. See what this one smells like.
Is this what I think it is?
That's Welcome to the Jungle from Guns N' Roses. Have you heard that song? Ryan asks. From, off of Appetite from Destruction, Guns N' Roses' debut album. I have it coming out in 87. Oy, yeah. And that song was the second single off the album. The first one was It's So Easy.
Can you believe they came with It's So Easy?
Yeah, right? That's
that just shows the attitude of that band.
Right.
That is just a big middle. That's a big middle finger right there.
That out, the line of every that. Every song.
Here's is a our little first single. The line is, "Turn around, bitch. I got a use for you."
And on the flip side was,
what do you Mr. mean? Brownstone. What do you mean they won't play it on the radio?
Yeah, the flip side, the B side was Mr. Brownstone.
Yep.
So, right.
Yeah.
You know. And then there was the song about heroin.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
You know.
Take your pick.
Song for everybody.
No, so that song, hands down, absolutely changed my life. I mean, that was when I got into actual music for real. When I heard that song coincidentally on KISW when I was probably, you know, 10 years old. And I was like, that is what I like. That is what I'm into. And then that grew into everything else that was happening in the mid and late 80s, good and bad. You know, for every Guns N' Roses, there was a, you know, winger.
She's only 17.
Dude, I had them. I had them all. I just became so engrossed with rock music, for better or worse, at the time. And you know, there's no pretense when you're that age. You either like it or you don't.
Right.
Right. You're not caught up in all of the other bullshit. And so I was just if it had a fucking guitar in it, I was into it. I wanted that shit. Yeah. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, put me on the path to sitting here talking to you guys tonight.
That song, so, I mean, the album is so iconic.
Thanks, Slash and Duff, for that.
Oh, yeah. And I just learned recently, and maybe I'd heard it before, I don't know, but supposedly Axl wrote that song about Seattle.
Yeah, that's what Miles says. I don't know if that's true.
I read it on Wikipedia.
Oh, really? Well, so, then it must be true.
It must be true.
Wait, did Miles write that for Wikipedia?
Miles probably wrote it for Wikipedia. That was really interesting.
Yeah, could be.
Appetite for Destruction was the first cassette I ever got. I got it with Def Leppard Hysteria, but you know, that's.
Dude, I had that. Dude, I wore that tape out. For reals. Dude, me and my buddy used to have, we would ride our bikes with our boom boxes. We would both have our copies of Def Leppard Hysteria and try and fucking sync them up we went out for bike rides. So we were both playing the same song at the same time. True story.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, Armageddon it, because I was too young to know what Armageddon was, I just assumed it had something to do with the drummer's arm.
Oh my God.
I don't remember how old I was when I realized, like, oh, that's what that song's about. That's what I'm doing. I'm like 10 years old. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. Wow. That was funny.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I still love all that shit too, man. Like, you know, there was a time when probably in like the mid 90s when I would like shun all of that late 80s, early 90s sort of, especially the cornier shit. Like, nah, man, I don't like that. But and then it was like a guilty pleasure. And now, like, I don't believe in guilty pleasures. Like, you shouldn't have to feel bad that you like something. No. You either do or you don't. Like, exactly. I love that shit.
Right.
I'll wear it loud and proud. Fuck, I'll wear a Winger t-shirt. I'm into it. Kip Winger's a talented guy. Dude was a ballerina. Come on. How many ballerina exactly. bass players do you know? One, Kip Winger.
We're getting him a Winger shirt.
Yeah, that song.
Rock some fucking Cinderella and Slaughter and Faster Pussycat, dude. Sign me
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for reals.
That whole genre, right? That for reals. Pocket. So fun.
Right.
So fun. Wow.
Yeah, for every Dio, there was a Kicks.
Kicks. Oh, gosh. Never got into Kicks.
It was a damn Yankees song.
Oh.
Can you take me high?
Dude, how about that video? Fucking
Ted
Nugent kicks open the door and deflects bullets with his rocking.
Yeah, exactly. So goddamn cool. And, I mean, how come Ted Nugent looks like a 10-foot monster in that? Or, well, compared to the rest of the band.
Because he's compensating.
Everybody's so short.
You have... You are familiar with Ted Nugent.
Yes, you know, right? This is true. So, hey, I'd hate to do it.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming up on the last song.
Yeah, there's not a great story for this one, but it's worth a play for reals.
Very cool. So you guys have a guess at what it might be?
Absolutely not.
No.
Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash.
Every single one so far.
This is 1987 as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it sure
Why
is.
Why are you looking at me?
All right, here it comes. Eventually. Even today.
You want to talk about tapping into a lifestyle right there. Like, we'll put her in malls. It's brilliant.
For those who don't know what that song was, that's Tiffany and a song called I Think We're Alone Now, which is originally a Tommy James and the Shondells song from 1966. Off the album Tiffany. Oh, how about that? Yeah, and like yeah. Ryan said, 1987. That again was their second single off the album. How about that?
What was the first one? Was it the other cover that was on?
Was
they were all covers.
I don't know. It was the song was called Danny. So that's all I know. Oh. It spent 2 weeks at number one.
Yeah.
Good Danny did?
Oh, no. I think we're alone now. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'm familiar with that too if you played it for me, because the reason I picked that song is I'm pretty sure that is the first tape I ever owned. I think that was the first song that I liked, and I went out and spent probably whatever my paper route money on a tape, and I bought that tape. This is like right before the Guns N' Roses Awakening too, because they both came out right around the same time. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There's a 9-year-old Ryan with his Tiffany tape. And now you all know a dirty secret about me.
It's a good thing we don't have a lot of listeners, right?
Let's hope this doesn't go viral.
Yeah. Yeah. That came out my graduation year.
I wasn't alive yet.
I ignored it then too.
You know, you listen to pop radio when you're young and you get exposed to all kinds of terrible music.
Well, MTV.
Over and over and over.
Oh, MTV yeah, and sure. VH1 oh, yeah. also, my God.
You know, I don't even know if I had MTV then. We were, how do I put this, poor. So, you know, I don't know if we even had MTV, at least early on, 87. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember seeing the video, so at some point we must have, but I don't think at the time we probably had cable TV. We probably had like whatever three channels were broadcast, like Cairo and King and Como. That was probably all you got to watch at the time.
We had cable, but
Cheers reruns.
I would do something wrong, my mom would call the cable company and have them block MTV.
Oh, God.
That's punishment.
Yeah. But it was fuzzy, so you could still kind of hear it and see it. I'm like,
through all the,
you know, it wasn't long after that I was taping videos off of MTV, though. I remember there was a lot of that. There was a lot of VHS tapes that had videos on them, right? Yeah crazy, right?
They don't do that.
Bonkers.
What, MTV, whatever.
Gosh, I still remember.
We always joke.
I remember hearing about Lane Staley's death on MTV, and it just like a banner going across the top of the screen. And I'm just like, and then they played a bunch of Alice in Chains songs, and I'm
crying.
Crying.
They don't do that now. You hush.
Yeah, we always say MTV used to be cool, but the fact of the matter is it was designed for like 14-year-olds, and the problem is you're not 14 anymore.
Right. Fair enough. Right.
It's not MTV. It's you.
Exactly.
You did what we call aged out.
Right. Aww. Most definitely. That's for sure. The shows they have on, I don't even know what they show anymore. I mean,
Teen Mom, no. I don't know.
No, that kind of stuff. But that was a while ago. I don't know if they're still doing Teen Mom 18.
I gave up on cable.
Yeah, no one has cable anymore anyways.
Old people do.
Well, you're the old guy.
Yeah, I am. Wow, Ryan, this was fun.
There you go.
Cool.
I tried to give you some variety there, mix it up a little
bit.
Again, dude, it was tough to come up with five.
That's what I've been hearing. We're going to do in a couple of weeks.
Oh, cool.
Or next weekend, actually.
Next week,
interview her. And she's whittled it down to 9, and she's been working on it for like 3-4 weeks now.
Yeah, I ran into her today. She's like, I'm supposed to have those in today, and I can't decide.
Yeah, if you want to talk about like 10 bands or 5 bands or like 5 albums or something like that, like that's a little broader. You know, like 5 songs that mean something to you in the story. It's like, wow, like 5 songs.
Make you work for it.
Yeah, I really had to think about, you know, there was one that didn't make the list, and that was another Metallica song. I decided to cut it. I was going to put Seek and Destroy on there because I used to have this piece of shit 1978 Toyota Corolla. Nice. It was brown. It had a hatchback, and it had a cassette deck in it, but it wasn't mounted. It just kind of sat inside of the dash. You guys know that look, right? Yeah. And it had Metallica's Kill 'Em All stuck in it.
Yeah.
So that's all you could listen to in my car, because once the tape was in, like the radio goes off, right? And then the radio comes on when you eject the tape, but you couldn't get the fucking tape out. And it was auto reverse. So you just listened to Kill 'Em All over and over and over and over in this car. And eventually, and I had like, here's the kicker. I had like really nice speakers, or like nice Pioneer speakers in the back of this hatchback, and they weren't mounted either because, you know, it was a piece of shit. So they're just laying in the hatchback. Like you can look in the hatchback and see like these nice speakers in the back. And somebody broke into that fucking garbage car and took the tape deck that was just sitting inside of the dash. But they left the nice speakers.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You fucking idiots. I hope you like Metallica, dumb fuck. You know? But I was so mad. I was so incensed at the time that someone would fuck with my stuff and that, you know, probably got $5 for the thing.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? So that one didn't make the list.
That's great. That's great.
A bonus track.
Yeah, right. There you go. Man, I sure appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit
of your
time.
Thanks, guys.
Man. Oh, man, this is
thank
great.
You.
One last question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
Who would you suggest we talk to? Who would you like to hear?
Oh, boy. You know who would be, God, I would say probably one of the guys on the men's room. Either Miles or Thrill would probably be absolutely killer. Thrill has... They both have really deep, broad tastes in music, and
yes.
obviously they're great storytellers. Miles especially goes real deep and real wide with the music. You want to
doing
get
that
into,
vinyl
like,
a day thing,
you know,
too.
Deep fucking Glen Campbell songs and stuff
yeah.
like that. You know, those guys would probably be absolutely fantastic.
Cool. I will drop your name when I send them a message.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get a hold of them. I know Miles is on Instagram.
Yeah, good luck getting them on Zoom too. They're about as technically savvy as an old woman named Phyllis trying to fucking get her iPhone to work. So.
I will make the attempt. I don't know.
Go stalk the whole
Thrill's not
something.
on social media at all. I'll try and I'll figure something out. I'll drop them a line somehow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else would be great. I mean, fuck this is sort of a universal thing, right? I mean, if you're into music, you can probably have some great stories to tell around.
Right. I reached out to Taryn once. Yeah. She hasn't responded back, and I don't expect everybody to respond.
Taryn's power's been out for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when you reached out to her.
I reached out to her at the same time I reached out to you. I know she read it, but you know, she's got a baby.
Sure. Sure. Well, cool, guys. Well, thanks. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Thank
we miss you,
Ryan, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll see you in the flesh at some point.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I talked to a friend of mine that works at Live Nation, and they are booking shows for the end of summer, man. They are working on getting shit done. Like, they, fingers crossed, the wheels over there are turning. It's a tough thing to do because you don't know if it's going to happen, but you can't wait until you know to plan it because it
right.
takes so long to put those things mm-hmm. together. So they're kind of... They're kind of just, you know, working towards it happening with the assumption that it's going to happen. Like, I know some bands that have holds in late September at White River and stuff like that. So, ooh. You know,
I've seen local bands say, hey, we have this planned out, and they're filling out a bill for a touring band. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and like we've seen them, it's like, oh, that show got canceled. Well, that show got canceled. Eventually
right.
that'll stop.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we're kind of in limbo right now. Like, we want to try and start putting some stuff together, but it's so hard to plan it if you don't know if it's going to happen. And, you know, like, if you're going to do like a big festival, like you want to have that shit on sale in like March, and like by
right.
March we're not going to know whether or not we
right.
can do it. So it's sort of like you're just walking this line trying to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to pull it off by November for sure. Like, everything's cool by October, November, but it's like yeah. that gray area, like August, September,
yeah.
maybe when you want to be outdoors doing shows,
right.
like
exactly.
November in Seattle. Like,
yeah, fun.
Well, fuck. You
know? Exactly. Thanks again, Ryan. This was truly special. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Nice.
I don't get
you.
Out much, so it's nice to talk to people. All right.
We miss you.
I'll see you guys soon. All right.
Take care.
Bye.
All right,
yeah, take care. See ya.
That was really, really good.
That was so cool.
That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. And obviously, because he works in radio, he knows how to hold up a conversation. That was fucking fantastic.
Well, that was kind of like one of the things is like, he's so smart.
Yeah.
You know, very
dude,
bright.
His picks were great.
I was expecting some Willie, some Johnny, something like that. Because he listens to a lot of that. I see what he listens on Spotify.
Then again, these are songs that mean something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that he said it was hard. Because that means... They actually had to put fucking thought into it. And
that was kind of my thought of pricking it down to five,
yeah,
too.
That's such, it works out so brilliantly.
It does,
they got to work for it.
Yeah.
And that shows us that they fucking give a shit.
They care. It's something they're going to want to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, between Martin and Ryan, you can see where this just fucking
It's great. And you know what I fucking heard?
What?
I heard somebody else is fucking doing this.
What?
Who?
On a national podcast.
Oh.
But it's not music.
Okay.
It's like, oh, we'll talk to a celebrity about their five favorite cereals or something like that. Or, you know. But I'm just like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Yeah.
Who started it first?
I don't know. Probably them.
Dude, it would be so cool to get Miles a thrill, though.